Oh, yeah, there we go. Sorry about that. Psalms 119. Always a privilege to be here, and love you folks, love being here. I was telling Brother Mars earlier, I'm from the city, and so I'm not used to the country life, but every time I come here, the more I come here, I'm just starting to enjoy the small town more. So it's really nice to be here again. It's a privilege, and this morning I've got something a bit different for you. I usually kind of take a passage of scripture or something, but today we're pretty much just going to stay in this one verse in Psalms 119, and our text will be Psalms 119 and verse 105. Psalms 119, 105. We'll begin reading. Psalms 119, 105. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for just being who you are and being such a good father to us and a good friend. And we couldn't do any of this without you, and we couldn't be here without you. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, and thank you for sending your son to die for us. And this morning I pray that you would just spend some time with us here. And you said where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst of them. So I pray that you'd be in the midst of us here and be with us, and that's really all that matters. And I pray that you'd give us some light on this subject, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalms 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And when I was growing up, I had a lamp on my nightstand next to my bed. And this lamp really wasn't anything special to look at. It wasn't anything particularly pretty. It didn't have a great design or anything, but it did its job really well. And that lamp shined on all the Calvin and Hobbes books that I read, and that lamp was what shined and what I turned on. Thanks, brother. Appreciate that. That lamp was what I turned on when I thought I heard someone in my room, something that scared me. And that lamp is what I reached over and turned on to find some comfort for my eyes if the other lights were too bright in there. It was just, you know, it's a lamp. And you'd think that a lamp is not really of that much importance, but that lamp was probably the most often light that I used. It was something that was a daily thing where if I was going to read something or if I wanted to just hang out in my room, I'd turn the lamp on. And that lamp was what shined the light on the pages of the first Bible that I got, and where I fell in love with that book and spent some quality time with the Lord in there. And this lamp in Psalms 119, 105, of course, is the Word of God. And I just found some similarities between lamps and this book. And of course, God is very purposeful in His words. And when He uses a word, He does it on purpose for the sake of us and something we can learn from it. And so today, for a few minutes, I'd like to talk to you about this lamp that we have in our laps. And the Bible, of course, it says, "Thy word is a lamp." And so the light from a lamp, it shines on specific things. And in this verse, I notice three things that the light shines on. And with this verse in mind, I'd just like to look at those things. So first of all, I'd like to say that the lamp shines light on the word. And it says that thy word is a lamp. But something interesting about a lamp is that you can't see the lamp without the light from it. If you're in the dark, right, and you're in your room, you actually cannot see the lamp unless the lamp is on. And so maybe you remember a time in your life where you had to reach around in the dark to find God. Maybe you remember a time in your life when things were dark all around you and you didn't really know what was right from left, and you had to reach around in the dark. Maybe somebody came and witnessed to you. Maybe somebody helped you find the lamp and turn the lights on. And that's the same way the Bible works. The Bible is such an amazing book. There's no other book like it where the Bible is actually the thing that you need to go to find light even on the other verses in the Bible. Other books, you can read them, and you pretty much can read them in one sitting and get just about what you need to from them, or maybe a couple of times, maybe three or four times at most. But this book, you continue reading it through your entire life, and you'll get light on new things every time you go through it. And Jesus Christ, He is the light of the world, and we're the light of the world because we have Jesus Christ inside of us. And somebody who knows Jesus Christ, somebody who spent time with Him, has seen that light, and they want to give that light to others. And people go to, you know, all different kinds of sources to study their Bibles. People will, you know, especially nowadays where pastors are not doing the job of feeding the flock of God like they're instructed to do in 1 Peter. And so men heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And the problem is that when there's you're not getting the proper food, then you go to other places to find it. You go to other sources. And that's not the way that God has intended it to be. And I understand it. I get it. You know, going to the internet. I understand it. You know, there's some really interesting things on there. But what I'm here to tell you today is that not all light is the right kind of light. Not everything that gives you knowledge is a good thing. And, you know, I've heard people say, I'm studying the Bible. There's a coffee shop I like to go to, and there's a lot of theologians in this coffee shop. And, you know, they talk about the Bible, and I've had conversations with them before, and most of them are off on some of the craziest stuff I've ever heard. And the reason for that is because they privately interpret the Bible through the lens of the internet. And the problem with that is that that is not how God intended for you to understand and study your Bible. The Bible says not by private interpretation. And so you're supposed to go to God's Word and you're supposed to compare Scripture with Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's what that verse says. So you know what that means? When you're taking this light and when you turn this light on, you use the other parts of the Bible to get light on everything, to get light on itself, to get light on your life. And you go through this book and you find light. And the entrance of thy words giveth light. And it gives understanding. And the word light, you know, just, I know, I guess by way of introduction, I should say that light is very deeply connected to understanding. Light is very deeply connected to understanding things in the right view, being able to see something clearly. When you have light in a room, you're able to see the details of things. And so in this book, what it does is it gives you the details. This book gives you the details of everything. This book gives you the details of your heart, of your life. It gives you the details of this world that we live in. And you get light. And it's the right kind of light. And, you know, God won't bless something that goes against the way that He has things set up. When you read in Genesis chapter 3, when Eve is taking of the fruit of the tree, she says, it's desired to make one wise. Well, you'd think, doesn't God want me to be wise? Doesn't God want me to have knowledge? And doesn't God want me to have light on all these different kinds of subjects? And, you know, but guess what? The Bible says be simple concerning evil. You know, you're not supposed to have light on everything. You know, it's a shame to speak of the things that are done of them in secret. There are certain things that Christians especially ought not to be looking at. You say it's educational. I don't care what it does. I don't care how much knowledge it gives you. It's still not right. And so this morning, what I'm trying to get across to you here is that the light that you want in your life is not just any random light. It's light from the lamp that shines on specific things in your life. And the first thing we notice in this verse in Psalms 119 is, of course, the Word, thy Word. And so when you're reading your Bible, if you don't understand something, I would suggest just continue reading. You know, you're supposed to intake it daily like it's meat and like it's bread. You don't need to understand this entire book to read it and get the light that you need for the day. You don't need to understand the deep doctrines of the unclean spirits and the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6. You don't need to understand all that to get some light in the morning. To get some light from Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we've been going through some studies in Sunday school. We want to understand Him more. We want to get to know Him as best we can. But that's different than just letting the entrance of His words come into your life and give you some light. Give you some understanding. Not all knowledge is from God. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there's a different kind of light that we find here in 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 14. It is 2nd? 2 Corinthians. Wow. I'm just looking at the wrong side of my Bible here. Sorry about that. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So what I'm trying to get at here is that Satan himself, he produces light. He transforms himself into a form of light that, once again, you shouldn't be a part of. And so even it says ministers are transformed into ministers of righteousness. So me and you got to be really careful where we're going. Because sometimes the ministers of Satan look like they're doing right. They look like they're righteous. They look like, you know, all holier than thou and all that stuff. And in reality, they're ministers of Satan. You know how I can know for sure if what I'm looking at is a minister of Satan? With the lamp. You know how I can know for sure if the light I'm getting is right? Well, I'll just go to this light every time. Back in the days of the men who did something great for God, there was no internet. Back in the days when people were finding out some real hidden things, some real hidden mysteries of God, there was no TikTok social media garbage. There was just a lamp in a room with somebody who wanted to get something from God. And if you want to get something from God, then just turn on the lamp. Second thing I'd like you to notice in this verse, if you'd go back to Psalms 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Something else that this book, this lamp, produces light on is it produces light on you. It produces light on the will. And the light is showing on your feet. And what I feel like this represents is this: that your feet represent the places you go, the things you do. Your feet represent you. And the lamp shines light on you and all your failures. Maybe all the places that you've gone with your feet. Maybe all the places that you found yourself in. Maybe it's not even places in real physical places. Maybe it's just where you've gone in your mind. And the thing is, this book, it knows you. It knows your heart. It understands you way better than you understand yourself. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, if you want to turn over there, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12, it says, "For the word of God, the lamp, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, when you open this book, every time you open it, it knows your thoughts. That word at the beginning of that verse where it says the word of God is quick. When something's quick, it's alive. There's another verse in the Bible that says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And so what it means to be quick is it means to be alive. This book is living. This book knows you and it's alive, and it gives you exactly what you need, particularly, specifically you, because it knows you. The lamp shines on you, shines on your feet. And something else I noticed about this verse is the light, it shines on, notice, it shines on your feet and not the feet of everybody else around you. I think Christians spend way too much time taking the light and trying to shine it on everybody else. Why don't you just study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands? You know, if you're doing those things, then you'll find yourself without the time on your hands to be taking out the light and using it on your brethren. And I'm not saying that they're, listen, they dwell in the light. Jesus Christ is there, to their own master, they stand and fall. But it is not your business to do that. Sometimes somebody does something that's wrong and the light exposes them as a person. It exposes them as a Christian. And you know what you ought to do when that happens? You ought to pray for them. Sometimes the lamp exposes things that, yeah, it's not okay. It's not a good thing. Sometimes the lamp exposes our sin and the sin of your brethren. And that's just not a time to take that as a signal to just stomp him down. Now, you're going to see some things wrong with your brethren. I heard somebody say one time, everything about the ministry is great if it wasn't for the brethren. If it wasn't for the people, yeah, if it wasn't for the people, this world would be a perfect place. If it wasn't for the people, this world wouldn't have as much sin or as many problems. But it's how it is. We're here. We're people in this world, and the light shines on us. And you've got to deal with that. But just remember who you are. Remember that the light is shining on you as well. You ought to be praying for your brethren that get taken in a fault. You ought to be praying for them. Maybe when you're walking down your path and the lamp is shining on your feet, maybe somebody else, maybe another Christian enters into your path and he's not in your path so you stomp him over. He's in your path so you can do something for him. You know, I always think about that passage that we went over last time I was here with David. There's three chapters in there in 2 Samuel where David is just sitting on his throne waiting to be able to do something for someone. Waiting to be able to do something for God. He's sitting in his palace there and he says, God, I want to build you a house. He's sitting in his palace and he says, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And I think for us as Christians, I think that mentality ought to resonate with us. That mentality of us walking through life and wherever the light brings us, for us to take the light with us and to bring that into the situations of the people that we cross paths with. Bring the light into the lost world, the people that cross our paths in the lost world. That's what our ministry is supposed to be as Christians. And the thing is that this light, it shines light on your motives. It shines light on the things that you do and say, and it discerns all of your intentions behind it. And I think often what we ought to do is stop and think about the things that we do and stop and try and put ourselves in the lens of Jesus Christ and say, all right, why did I just say what I just said? Why just now did I do that? And if you'd stop and think about it, maybe you could get to a point where you're not doing things out of pride. Maybe you could get to a point where you're not consistently doing things like talking about a brother for the wrong reasons. And you can get to a place where you're doing it because it's right. And this light that we have in Psalms 119, this light, this lamp that we have, it's an amazing thing. It really is. We don't understand, I think, now that we've maybe been a few years past what it was like to live in the dark. I don't think we understand what it's like to... I don't anyways. I can say it for myself. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up with the Bible spoon-fed to me. I grew up in a family where, I mean, the things that I was given by my parents and by my grandparents and by the churches that I went to and the visiting preachers that would come in through there, I don't think I can fully comprehend it. And so I don't know really what it's like to just be in the dark. I don't know what it's like to just be looking for the lamp and not being able to find it. And maybe some of you in here do. And what that ought to do for you is help you to realize that those people who are dwelling in the dark need the lamp more than anything. And you ought to spend some time really thinking about the direction that you're heading with your feet. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24, Proverbs 4:24, says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So in Proverbs 4 here, we see the theme is that you're supposed to be looking onto the path that's before you and onto the light that God has given you. And the light that God has given you and on you and on your feet and on the path that you're going should be your only focus. You shouldn't be turning from the right hand or the left. You ought to spend some real time pondering and some serious time thinking about the path that maybe you're leading your family down, men. For the men in here today, you're the leaders of your homes. And the path that you decide to lead is the path that your family is going to take and your children are going to take. And maybe spend less time thinking about other people and maybe spend some more time thinking about where you're going. And when your lamp shines light and you realize that God has put someone else in your path, then maybe try and think about how you can help them. And the last thing I'd like to say here is that not only is it a light and it shines, the lamp shines light on the Word, it shines a light on the will and the things involved with you, and finally it shines light on the way. If you go back to Psalms 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, something about this lamp is that you might not be able to see 5 years in front of you. You might not have light on exactly what's going to be taking place over the next 20, 50 years. You know, you might not know exactly the direction that your kids are going to head, but you can know where you're supposed to be today. You can know where you're supposed to step today. And that's the way it works in the Christian life. You know, God's not going to speak to you from the stars. God's not going to do some big miracle to show you exactly what it is that you need to do, but He'll give you light on today. He'll give you light on the next step. If you turn to 1 John 1:7, what He expects from us is to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we're supposed to be in the light like He's in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, well, we'll start in verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sins." This lamp that we have, this light that we have, is something that we're supposed to be dwelling in. And it doesn't matter if you're saved in here, you can be dwelling in the darkness. You can be living in the dark. You can take the lamp and you can just turn it off. And you can be living that way. You'd think, why would anybody want to live in the darkness? Well, because in the dark you're not exposed. In the dark, the things that you want to do, your thoughts and your intents, they're no longer exposed. You know, when you're dwelling in the darkness, then God's Word isn't there shining bright at you like the sun in your sin. And so this path that we're supposed to be on, we're supposed to be dwelling in the light that is Jesus Christ. And the entrance of His words are going to give us more light, and the more holy that we can be, the more like Him that we can be, then the more He can show us where we need to be and where the next step is. And the lamp is there for you. The lamp is personally and specifically there to light the things that you need light on in your life. And so I wonder if you need some light on some things today. I wonder what it is exactly, if you have some plans, maybe you have some decisions that are coming up that you need to make, and you need some light on them. Or maybe you've been dwelling in the darkness. Maybe you've not cared to have the light on your decisions up this far. And if that's the case, then you need to get in the light. If you've been dwelling in darkness, and you know if you have, you know what it's like to be in the dark. You know what it's like to maybe not really care if you can see the direction that you're heading. You're just kind of taking things passively, taking things as the day goes, and you don't exactly really care or have any ideas of what you are trying to accomplish in your Christian life. You're just living day by day. And if that's you this morning, then I think you've got a heart problem. Because anything that any heart that doesn't want to be dwelling in that light, any heart that doesn't want to just consistently dwell with Jesus Christ there, has a problem. And we're dark individuals. As human beings, we're dark people. We enjoy the darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And our deeds are evil, for the most part. Most of the time, we've got some things, we've got some real darkness inside of us where Jesus Christ has to come in and dwell inside of us to take care of it. And I don't know where exactly it is in Psalms, but in Psalms, it talks about how Jesus Christ dwells in the thick darkness. You know, in the book of Exodus, when they're walking through the wilderness there, he dwelt in a cloud. When Jesus Christ was dying on the cross and the thunderings and the lightnings, there was thick darkness. And I think what that's instructional on is that me and you, as dark individuals, that's exactly who God wants to dwell with. Exactly who God wants to be a part of and wants to shine some light on is the dark individuals. The people in this life, in this world, who have no hope and no light. The most hopeless person you can think of, the person who you think is in the darkest place, that's who God says, I want to be with them. I want to take care of them. I'm going to take them and I'm going to put my light on them. And so this morning, I'm not sure where you're at in life. I have no idea. I've been coming here for a couple of months now, and I'm getting to know you guys, but I don't know what your daily life is like. We were talking about earlier where you're getting your light from and whether or not you're getting it from the source that God wants you to. I'm not on social media. I don't know who's on there. I don't know if any of you are on there, if you're spending your time in that light. So I can tell you this without even having a person in my mind, you got to get off that. Stop looking for light in the garbage. Stop looking for light in places where God has not directed you to. We have a direction here in this book. God has a setup where you can get light in the Bible. You can get light from your church, from your local church. And you ought to be in that indwelling, dwelling in those things that God has directed you to. And so this morning, I was told you I was going to be short, but this morning I really don't have much more to say. You ought to be walking in the light. You ought to be walking in the light that God has given us. We're fleshly people, and the light, it gets rid of the flesh. The more light that shines on you, and the more time you spend in this book where you're letting these words enter in, you're going to get some light on that, on yourself and on your flesh. And it'll start going away. The more and more time you spend in the light, then you'll start to see less and less of yourself and more of Jesus Christ. So let's stand for prayer now.